Hello. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. A major soap brand advertises its soap at being more than 99% pure. What that means is, aside from the products used to make the soap, there are very few other non-soap ingredients in the soap. Pure is defined as not mixed or adulterated with any other substance or material. It could be defined as being without extraneous and unnecessary elements, free of contamination, and untainted by immorality. When it comes to food, we tend to value food that is pure. If we are eating celery sticks, it is no fun to bite into a speck of dirt that hasn't been washed away. If eating meat, it's no fun to bite into a hard piece of gristle or even a small fleck of bone that hasn't been detached from the meat. Eating at a restaurant and finding hair on food tends to result in the food being sent back to the kitchen. Coffee and tea are great, but not if these are watered down and tasteless. In art, there are three primary colors. Maybe not exactly the same as pure, but yellow, blue, and red are the three primary colors from which all other colors are derived. Accidentally get a few drops of red paint into blue, and a shade of purple will result. Mix a few drops of yellow with blue, and you will see green. It can be hard to imagine that the colors of the world that we see with our eyes are based on these three primary colors. When it comes to what is precious and valuable, pure is better. Gemstones without imperfections are of far greater value than gemstones with flaws. Precious metals are also of far greater value when nearly pure. For instance, if purchasing a gold bar that is 10 carats, the gold bar only has a little more than 41% gold. A 24-carat gold bar is as close to pure solid gold as possible, just a little shy of 100%. Our system of grading purity allows for differing levels of imperfection, because that is the best we can humanly do. The Bible talks about being pure. And the purity the Bible talks about is a spiritual purity, one that is not adulterated with sin. When Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount, he listed many blessings known as the Beatitudes, and among these was the blessing for those who are pure in heart, because they will see God. Matthew 5, verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Pure is translated from the Greek word katharos, Strong's Greek word 2513, meaning clean, clear, and pure. Other Greek words are also translated as pure in the New Testament. When the Bible speaks of being pure, it is describing the substance of purity rather than the form of purity. Substance and form are both important, but the Bible shows to focus on the substance of purity. Maybe substance and form as these relate to purity are hard to consider, but let's look at a bank. When we choose to bank with a financial institution, we are looking at elements of form. We would expect the bank to be located in a building suitable for a bank, and that it would look something similar to or better than other banks from which we could choose. We would not expect the bank to look, for instance, like a mechanic shop. There's nothing wrong with a business that repairs cars or other things, but when we go to a bank, we expect something that looks like a bank. We also expect a business name that sounds like a bank we can trust. We probably wouldn't deposit money into a bank named United Theft Bank. What we do expect is that when we deposit money into a bank, that those funds are available to us when the money is needed, and that element shows the substance of banking. And Jesus spoke of the religious elites of his day who, when it came to the substance and form of religion, focused on form instead. it was more important for them to look religious than to actually be religious. The look or form of religion is all the ceremony, the buildings, ornate decorations, priestly clothes, and the like. The substance of religion is the impact of the faith on those who believe. Jesus showed substance is more important because it is possible to have the form of religion while completely lacking the substance of religion. These are people who outwardly appear pure and righteous while within their minds are just as evil as the evil people they condemn. Matthew 23, verse 25. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Purity is important to many different customs. When the body of Jesus was buried by Joseph of Arimathea, he wrapped the body in clean linen. The Greek word for clean is the same as pure. Matthew 27, verse 57. When the even was come, there came a rich man of Arimathea, named Joseph, who also himself was Jesus' disciple. He went to Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. Then Pilate commanded the body to be delivered. And when Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulchre, and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary sitting over against the sepulchre. Jesus explained to his disciples that they were now clean through what he taught. And he showed the process of spiritual growth. Spiritual growth needs to bring us to being pure in heart. If we have great spiritual understanding and we are spiritually impure, there is a disconnect we need to examine within ourselves. As we grow spiritually, we should become more and more spiritually pure. John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. In writing to Timothy, Paul explained that what God wants from us is to love with a pure heart, having a good conscience and genuine faith. If we think about what Paul is writing and compare it to religious practices, there is often a disconnect. Some people only want to look good, not really caring who they really are. Some get sidetracked and go down religious rabbit holes linked to stories and conspiracy theories or trying to find exactly where the lost tribes of Israel are, what Paul described as endless genealogies. Working within conspiracy theories or trying to prove exactly where the lost tribes of Israel are will cause more questions than providing answers. Instead of focusing on what cannot be substantiated, we need to be focusing on what is spiritually important, so that as we spiritually grow, we become more and more spiritually pure. We also need to realize that as we have been given the opportunity to spiritually grow and become more and more spiritually pure, we should never think less of those who are not yet called, who might be thought of as sinners because we were all once not yet called and sinners as much as those who we may look on as sinners. 1 Timothy 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mayest charge some that they teach no other doctrine, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in the faith. So do. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. Knowing this, that the law is not made for the righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. When describing the qualities of a deacon, Paul explained to Timothy that they needed to hold the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. We cannot have any guilt or shame for what we believe. We who are keeping the Sabbath and holy days know we have differences with many who also call themselves Christians who have other practices. We do not need to feel guilty or ashamed for what we believe. 1 Timothy 3, verse 8. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience, and let these also first be proved. Then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy was encouraged to live his life as an example among the believers, basing his actions in purity and many other spiritual qualities, including love, spiritual growth, and faith. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on in the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon all these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself, and under the doctrine continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee. As a younger person, Timothy was told to flee youthful lusts. Instead of doing what other younger people were doing, because that's what younger people do, Timothy was encouraged to follow righteousness, faith, love, and peace with other believers who have a pure heart. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. When we think of believers with a pure heart, it might cause us to stop and think if there is such a thing as a believer with an impure heart. We might think of these people as those who claim to be a believer who have ulterior motives. For those who worship God in sincerity and truth with a pure heart, it can be hard to imagine that anyone would fake faith and belief, but this does happen. A person who does what is pure in the eyes of God tends to see things through a lens of purity. We tend to focus more on those things which are pure than to look at something and immediately consider it evil. Titus was told to the pure, all things seem to be pure, and that to the defiled, nothing is pure. What is not said is that the pure can sometimes have difficulty seeing what is impure. We do need to be harmless as doves and wise as serpents. If a situation with an unbeliever would cause concern, you should be concerned when a similar situation is unfolding with one who believes. Unbridled trust does not need to be given to a person just because they are of the household of faith. We sadly live in a world where people will use status and relationships and make false claims just to gain an advantage that could result in the exploitation and harm of another person. Titus 1, verse 1. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and to every good work reprobate. The best we can do is compare ourselves to what is written in the Bible, but it is the Word of God which is much more able to determine if a person is pure or impure. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We may be unable to fully determine if a person is pure of heart, but the Word of God can. To be specific, it is the Word of God that can determine if a person is pure of heart. Our understanding of the Word of God does not determine if a person is pure of heart. Hebrews 4, verse 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hebrews also describes as having us draw near with a true heart, having a full assurance of faith, knowing we once were not called, and having our bodies washed with pure water. In purity, we are to continue in the faith. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. James describes the wisdom of God as pure. With God, wisdom starts with purity, and that purity leads to peace, gentleness, being approachable, merciful, spiritually rich, with no hypocrisy and without partiality. James 3, verse 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. From where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Purifying ourselves involves obedience to the truth, and obedience to the truth should extend to loving others of the household of faith with a pure heart. There can be no hypocrisy in our beliefs and practices, realizing we have this common faith. 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. We are told we know God loves us because we should be called the sons of God. Knowing this, we should be busy purifying ourselves because God is pure. If we are the sons of God, we should want to become like God. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. We can read of purity in the Psalms. In one psalm we are asked, who can ascend the hill of the Lord or stand in his holy place? We are then told, a pure heart is needed to do so. Psalm 24, verse 1. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. After David sinned with Bathsheba, he begged for God to create in him a clean heart and to renew a right spirit within him. Even when we sin, with repentance, there is hope that we can have a pure heart. Psalm 51, verse 1. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We are told the undefiled who walk in the law of God, who seek him with their whole heart, are blessed. For us, there is no split decision with God where part of our effort is in doing what God expects, and the other part of our effort is purposely doing what God would not want us to do. We are advised that if we want to be pure, we are to do what God tells us to do. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. In Proverbs, we are told to diligently keep our heart. It's not automatic that what we do will be pure. We must purposely focus on being pure, and that means by choice we will be doing what God expects of us. We cannot be doing those things that God hates and somehow think we will have a pure heart. Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It makes no difference to God if in our mind or if in the mind of our friends we are pure. Because most people tend to see themselves as generally doing what is right and best for them. It is up to God to determine if we are pure in heart, and the best way we can ensure that is to do what God expects of us. Proverbs 16, verse 1. The preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. If we want to be pure in heart, we need to remember that every word of God is pure, and God protects those who trust him. Proverbs 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. While every word of God is pure, the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. We must trust God and cannot trust man. Jeremiah 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways, and according to the fruit of his doings. Everything about God and Jesus Christ is presented through a lens of purity. In heaven, even the seven angels who hold the seven plagues are described as being clothed in pure and white linen. Revelation 15, verse 5. And after that I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts girded with golden girdles. And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who lived forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no man was able to enter into the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. In Revelation, we are also given an image of the Lamb, Jesus Christ marrying his bride, the church. The bride is described as arrayed in fine and clean white linen, which is the righteousness of saints. Revelation 19, verse 5. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. A few verses later, we are given imagery of the Word of God, Jesus Christ, riding atop a white horse. Following him is an army also riding on white horses, and that army is clothed in fine, clean, white linen. Revelation 19, verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. New Jerusalem is described as a marvelous city made of pure gold, so pure it almost has a glass-like quality. Imagine gold that is so pure it almost has a glass-like quality that at the right angle of light you could see your reflection. Revelation 21, verse 18. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were, transparent glass. I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. The river of life is a river where the waters are pure as these flow from the throne of God and the Lamb. Revelation 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. Jesus connected the Passover symbol of foot washing to being clean. He explained that if a person is already clean, only the foot needs washing. John 13, verse 5. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he said, Ye are not all clean. Paul encouraged the Philippians to be sincere and without offense until the return of Jesus Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. That sincerity without offense is like being pure in heart. For us, there can be no hidden agenda. Philippians 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all making requests with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to thank this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Later in the same letter, Paul encourages the brethren to think on those things that are pure, true, honest, just, lovely, of a good report, having virtue, and being praiseworthy. Philippians 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Finally, James writes of pure and undefiled religion. James could have gone into a long list outlining what is taught in the Bible, and yet summarizes pure and undefiled religion as taking care of those who are unable to take care of themselves, the widows and orphans, and to keep oneself from being sullied by the sins of this world. James 1, verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Jesus proclaimed a blessing on the pure in heart, because they will see God. For us, there can be no hidden agenda. We must be sincere in our beliefs and practices, and we must be pure in heart. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.